Hi, everyone. Welcome to our Small Fleet and Owner Operator Summit. And I am very excited today because, of course, we're going to deliver a wonderful news and trucking related content for our audience. And that being said, we have one of the most longstanding trucking influencers out there and, of course, an owner operator as well. Here with us, of course, is Chad Boblett. Chad, thank you so much for joining me for the show today.
And I think this is my first time being on here, so and I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, of course. And it's, you know, we're gonna have this wonderful summit of a number of different influencers and experts like yourself. But I think we're going to get into a lot of really great content for you because you share a lot of your stories and share a lot of best practices. And that's really what I want to dive into today. But first, could you tell our audience a little bit about Chad and what brought you to where you are today in your career?
Okay. Well, graduated high school, and first thing, I'll try to make it brief. If not, I can go on for a couple hours, something like that. But graduated high school, went to the Marine Corps, did it for 10 years. And when I got out, I pursued a police officer. I wanted to be a I got into really wanting to do the state police thing here in Kentucky. But you have to wait till the academy starts, and I couldn't really wait for money and training and all that stuff. So the quickest and easiest at that time in 2006 was to get into trucking. I did that. First driving job was TMC, which is a flatbed company. The second driving job, did that for a year. Then the second driving job I had was McLean. And anybody that knows McLean knows that it's hard work. And I ended up getting crippled from that job, or temporary crippled, where I had to go to the hospital. And I had to get surgery done on my knee and my neck. I had to live on short-term disability. Basically, I almost had to restart my life. And by restarting my life was the best thing ever. Having to go through all that because I had nothing to lose and I always wanted to be an owner-operator. I had a CDL and with nothing to lose. How can I? Everybody says, don't get into trucking because if you get into trucking, you might lose everything. Well, if you have nothing to lose, then how am I going to lose anything, right? So that's how I got into trucking. That was 13 years ago. And March will be, where most people know me is how I got involved in social media, which is I started the Facebook group, Rate Per Mile Masters. That has exploded into something that I never envisioned to what it is now. And basically how that started, I know you got more stuff that you want to ask me, but basically how that started was, being an owner-operator carrier and being at these shippers, receivers, and truck stops and talking to other drivers, I like to talk. And I was fascinated about the kind of money you made as a company driver and the kind of money you made when you own the truck and you own the company and you get 100% of the money. It's like, what I just did in one day was pretty easy. And I made more money on that one load than I would have all week working for somebody else. So that fascination made me want to talk to people, tell people, hey, what are you doing? You know, how much money are you making? Who are you driving for? You know, I did the same thing you did. And look, here's my rate sheet. You know, look how much more money I'm making than you. You know, and that's kind of throwing in someone's face. But I can teach you how to do what I'm doing. Everybody should be doing what I'm doing. Nobody should be working that hard. You should be getting your own truck. And anyway, so that led me to a path of teaching other people because It was a fun subject to talk about. And then somebody told me you could do this on Facebook, and that made it a lot easier. There you go.
Well, hey, to be honest with you, I mean, I appreciate the candidness because that's why we have you here today is to dive into a lot of those best practices as well. And, you know, as you transition into becoming an owner operator truck driver, I'm interested in it. You said like you had nothing left to lose, right? But I'm sure there were some challenges when you first started and even today with markets as where they are. What are some of the biggest challenges that you feel like you've had to overcome in your career as an owner-operator?
Well, I jumped in and there was no Facebook group to teach me. This was 2006. There was nothing out there to really teach me how to get started. I just jumped in and said, well, if I'm going to be an owner-operator, the first thing I need to do is buy a truck. I had to go through that challenge, and that was one of the probably the biggest challenges of all because nobody's going to give you money to go buy a truck. I remember having, you know, I'd get mail, and I had a good name, I had good credit, I just didn't have no money because I was out of a job and I was on disability from my knee surgery, and with So having that, they would give me an advertisement and say, and at that time, Humvee was out and everybody wanted the Humvee, you know, and that was a nice luxury car. And I would get this advertisement. Hey, you qualify for a $50,000 Humvee. So I'm like, well, if they're going to give me a $50,000 Humvee, they should give me a $35,000 to buy a truck. And they rejected me. I have a perfect credit score, but you're not going to give me $35,000 to buy a truck. And I was like, man, just, you know, someone like me, if they're going to do that to me, they do it to everybody. That was my eye opener. And my way around that was doing the total thing that nobody else normally does or preaches about. And that's where I went and applied for a bunch of credit cards and bought my first truck with credit cards. I had it in my brain, though. I was always worried, like, man, if I get this loan, you know, if I'm late on those payments, they'll come and repo my load or repo my truck. But a credit card, they're not going to come repo my truck. I'll stay gone. Also, I'll keep that truck hidden. I'll stay on the road so much they'll never find me. So, anyway, that's how I got started. And that was a challenge. And I was just actually talking about that with a company that helps financing. They do a lot of financing for the bigger fleets. And my big subject was we need a good source for the small guy getting into this financing for them, because they don't have no option. But the only option they have is to go lease on or to do the whole lease purchase program that the big mega carriers do. And my gosh, if you read the site, well, okay, you all right, I'm not stepping on toes here, but if you read, FreightWaves even puts out material telling about how horrible those deals are. I'm not seeing it. As soon as you get it paid off, they start showing you the shiny keys of a brand new truck. You know, well, you got 300,000 miles on it. You don't want to be in that truck no more. We'll put you in this other truck. And then the whole cycle. Anyway, that's a whole nother subject. But yeah, that I hate that because it hurts. It hurts people that was in my position at one time. That was a challenge.
Do you feel on that note, do you feel like there's a lot more groups, especially in the like financial side of things, that are willing to help drivers out now? Like you said, do you feel like today that there's places for people or drivers to go to start their own operation?
As far as getting into the truck, no, we still have a huge problem in this industry of helping. And that's been my, you know, my intercom, my message, the thing that I've tried to help out. Because I see the difference between going from being a company driver. I skipped leasing on anybody. That just didn't even make sense. And I looked into that. I'm like, you're going to take, you know, what, 20%, 35% just for me to lease onto you where I can pay $50 and work with all the load boards and I get all the money? I mean, why would someone lease onto someone? But anyway, so yeah, that's one of the biggest challenges. That's the thing that I try to teach and help out people get over that, you know, it's like anybody can go out and buy a brand new car for $50,000, but you can't give me $35,000 to buy a truck that I grossed almost $1 million with and still sold that truck for $20,000. So $15,000, I made that kind of money and a bank wasn't willing to risk it with me. Banks, they know what they're doing, but, you know, I just wish there was more there to help out the small guy, to help out the small guy get into that first truck.
Yeah. And you're right. The leasing aspect, like it's such a flashy trap that gets people so often. So I'm happy that you're out there trying to help with that aspect. I know I've seen you often as well as talk on safety in the industry. I mean, even talking about the injuries that you had yourself. How do you think that we could, or at least owner operators can maintain better safety standards on the road, whether it's driving compliance or even just their own physical health, like you've had to overcome?
Safety, focusing on your health. I mean, that's, you know, as I get older, I really grew up here in Kentucky. That's where I'm at today. And I did 10 years in the Marine Corps. All my life is, if I were to tell you my life story, it would be nothing, but you'd realize like, dang, you know, this guy really worked hard all of his life. And then I grew up poor, grew up trailer park poor. And I used to work in the farms before I turned 16. When I turned 16, I got real jobs. And then the Marine Corps was a really hard job, but I'm just built like that to work really hard. Even now I work all the time, but look, going back to that safety, you know, my gosh, you know, in the trucking, I probably never worked harder in my life than I did when I was driving a truck. And, you know, EOD was kind of a good thing in disguise because that makes you to where you're not filling out 2 log books. You're not doing all that crazy stuff. But anyway, I mean, that's the first thing that comes to my mind when it comes to safety. If you're keep track of measurements. If your blood pressure is getting a little out of whack, hey, it's time to start looking at what you need to do to correct that. If you have sleep apnea, get these things tested. If you're 10% overweight, maybe you need to cut back 10% of your drive and dedicate 10% of your life to getting back in line. I say that all the time when I make, I don't like talking about, you know, health wise because I got too much maintenance myself I need to work on. But my friend, he's this little bit skinny guy, and his social media stuff that he does out on the road is he always wants to take pictures of eating these mountains of crazy desserts and stuff. And I'm like, how does he eat that and stay so skinny? Just we're not all built the same. And being out on the road and not taking, you know, it's something that we have to be focused on and conscious about is taking care of our health.
You know what? I'm going to say I'm right there with you. I'm going through my own like health journey right now. And it's surprising you brought up like blood pressure, right? Like how these little things can all kind of start, especially as you get older, right? Start attacking each other. And then whether it's like sleep issues, blood pressure problems, things like that. And now I'm fortunate to live at home, live in an experience where I can go for a walk whenever I need to, where I can, you know, make sure that I'm eating healthy foods. How do you maintain that lifestyle over the road, trying to stay healthy? But of course, like being in the truck all day and then being at truck stops all day, how do you manage that?
Well, I've been doing this a long time. I'm fortunate to where I don't have to be out on the road like I used to, but I just remember looking back at it. And I would cheat the system. Okay, well, I'm just going to do fast food today. And that fast food today would turn into, well, I'm just going to do fast food tomorrow. And then, I drove all day. It's time to eat before I go to bed. Those were such horrible habits, you know, eating before you go to sleep, eating carbs before you go to sleep, because that carbs and sugar. It's a book I just was reading here recently about how carbs will like after 6 o'clock, carbs and sugar will actually affect your quality of sleep. You know, if there's Tim Ferriss, his podcast, the latest book that he put out, he asked this repeated question: what have you recently purchased for less than $100 that's made the biggest impact on your life? Right, here it is: this Fitbit. If we were to give anybody advice when it comes to health and that could help them out on the road, would be this. And if you live by it, having this Fitbit, it tells you how many steps you do per day. Your goal should be, if you had this and you wore it all the time, you would realize that if I can get 10,000 steps a day, it starts to affect my health. My blood pressure does better. And this will also tell you how well your sleep is. I mean, that's a third of your life is sleep. So the better sleep quality you get, the better it affects all of your other qualities of life. Eating at home, you know, or preparing your food. The thing that I hear other truck drivers talk about, and I totally agree with them, is the more you can prepare your food at home and take with you out on the road, the better off you're going to be, because it's just so hard to get good quality, healthy food when you're out on the road. I mean, we're stuck with the TAs and the Petros and the pilots and the flying jet that where they give you, whether it's fast food at those places. I mean, Petro was going to make it a little bit better where you get to sit down and eat a hot meal, but we get in so much of a rush and we're up against the clock to get we'll just eat whenever we have time for it. And anyway, that leads into the eating the junkier stuff. I mean, fasting, I'm a big proponent of fasting. Another book I read talked about how sugar has absolutely zero nutrition factors to it. So the more you can cut that out of your life, the better off you are. Again, I don't want to be the person that talks about health because I want that's my next thing that I will start doing in the future is talking about health. But I want to make sure I'm an example and I can like, you know, take off my shirt and look at my 6-pack abs. I'm not there yet.
I will say, though, it's interesting because these are also best practices for, I think, anyone, even regardless if you're on the road, right? So I appreciate the help, especially as I go through my own journey now today. I want to go back to the
health is wealth. Health is wealth. Let's always remember that health is wealth. You know, what good is it to make a whole bunch of money if you're not going to be healthy and be able to live? You know, it's something you could also write about and look into how bad it is. We don't even make it too much talk, but I read this study about how the average truck driver, truck drivers, their life expectancy is 61. Isn't that horrible? Isn't that horrible? I mean, so many people want to disagree with me with that, but I believe in the study that I read. 61 years old. You don't even make it to retirement at 60, you know, for 65. We should. So if we're dying as truck drivers 16 earlier than everybody else, then we should probably think about retiring about 16 years earlier than everybody else. And if we did, you know, cut back on the miles and did a little bit more focus on our health, maybe we would be able to live a little longer.
True. Very true. And I want to kind of wrap this up on the market and the industry today. We've gone through a pretty terrible market for drivers, owner operators. We see a lot of companies, you know, leave the industry, whether it's because they want to or because they physically are kind of pushed to. I'm wondering, what advice are you giving drivers today to keep surviving in this market? Because I feel the turn coming, right? So how are you speaking with drivers in your Facebook group too, and advice to get through these times to make it out at the other end of this market?
Well, on discussion that I had with the company yesterday, my last final, I was out in Texas with them, and my final words to them was, the customers you have today is probably the strongest customers you've ever had. Because look at what they went through. You know, we've seen if you made it through to this point, then there's a really good chance you're gonna be around the next 6 months to a year. You're the hardcore ones. You know, you're the best of the best. There ain't nobody behind you that's ever been through what you've been through right now. And so I mean, just hang in there. We'll never see what we saw after the pandemic, you know, like where rates just went sky high. At that time, everybody could jump in a truck and make good, great money. But now you have to apply fundamentals and start working on relationships. And you're gonna have to be smart about it, or you'll end up being a part of the ones that are left. But any of those, you know, your Freightways works with a lot of different industry providers, companies that their customers are carriers. Well, let me tell you, don't put so much focus in grabbing new people, grabbing new customers. Focus on the ones you have right now, because those are the best people, the strongest customers we've ever had in this industry. Look at what they just went through. You know, and Freightways put out a chart about how all the people that's gotten out. Well, we've been in a decline. I don't know how long it's been. You go back to the financial crisis, and I think we're still worse than it was then. I mean, I hope that works for my advice.
No. I mean, especially because if you hold those customers and you have built a great relationship, once it turns, I mean, who's the first person they're going to go to with that volume? It's going to be you and the people that work around you. So I think that's excellent advice, Chad. If people are looking to, of course, join your group and learn from you as well, where can they do that?
Rate for Mile Masters, Facebook group, Chad Boblett, Google my name. I'm all over there. I talk all the time and it's not that I'm the smartest person, but I collect a lot of information. I've created a network of people that gives me this type of information for me to share with others. And my group is heavily moderated. There's probably no other group out there that has more executive level CEOs. I did a conference once at TIA, which is a group of a lot of the top level brokers and carriers in the industry, a room of about 500 of these people. And I asked, how many of y'all, before I got up here to talk to you, how many of y'all know Rate for Mile Masters? And almost everyone in the room raised their hand. I'm like, wow, you know, it's that popular. And a lot of these people don't talk, you know, but they read what's going on in the industry. It's a great source for that. And I mean, at this point, March, we just hit our 10-year mark since I've started the group. I can easily show you documentation where this group is doing in that time frame, where we have over $100 million in networking has taken place in a Facebook group when I was telling you at the very beginning, I didn't know it was going to turn into what it has to. And the people that we have saved and helped out in situations when it was just horrible and, you know, and they needed help, the people that we've saved in those situations has been great. Those are the miracles. Those are the things I like the most. And the outreach we have with CEOs, high-level executives, we're this small guy up by himself. He don't get nowhere when he calls and says, hey, can I talk to the CEO of XBO? But you put a post in the group and the CEO of XBO, he's going to read it and he'll start sending out letters to his other people. We need to solve this. I mean, I've seen that repeatedly over the years, over and over and over.
Yeah, I will say too, Chad, I want to thank you because actually you started that group right around when I started in brokerage and it helped, you know, give me insight on the driver perspective and grow that company the way that I think drivers wanted to see brokers grow as well. So thank you so much, Chad, for joining me today and for our audience. Enjoy the rest of the summit and we'll be talking soon.